Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Just some context before we read. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had just made a proclamation that he was going to kill all of the baby boys among the Hebrews because he was afraid of the people. They were multiplying too fast. So it was a difficult time for the Israelites. And in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And the man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked alongside the river. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister, that is a Moses' sister, said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son." So that particular story is one that you know very well. Maybe you've seen the movie Ten Commandments, or maybe you've read the scripture for yourself. But it is a great example of what we call God's favor. Here is a woman and a man having a boy child in the midst of a time when boy children are supposed to be put to death. They tried to hide the child, they couldn't do it. So they made the harsh decision as parents to put their 3-month-old child in a river and hope for the best. Anything could have happened to that child. Somebody could have seen it and said, "That's one of the Hebrews' children. We're supposed to put it to death." But instead, the daughter of Pharaoh, the same person who made the proclamation to kill all of the boy children, his daughter came to the river, saw the child, fell in love with the child, and had compassion on him. Once Moses' sister saw what was happening, she said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Do you want me to call a nurse from the Hebrew woman for you?" And she called the child's mother. And in the end, the child's mother got paid to nurse the child that was her own. That was a classic example of God's favor. Because had it not been for this incident, the parents would have had that child and be constantly living in fear that that child could be put to death at any moment. But now they have the child, which is their child. They're getting paid to raise the child, and they know that this child is protected because this child is Pharaoh's child. Amazing example of God's favor. So I know favor is something that's very popular nowadays. Everybody wants God's favor, but what exactly is God's favor and how do you get it? And many people think that favor simply means being positioned to be blessed by God. And by blessed, they always interpret that to mean material blessings. But favor simply means that you are pleasing to God. If I have found favor in your sight, that means if I am pleasing to you, if you are pleased with me. In this session, I'm going to talk about a few different characteristics of people who receive favor from God. The first thing we note is that there were many other Hebrew children being born around this time. But this particular incident, this particular instance of God's favor, only really happened with Moses. obviously because Moses was God's chosen instrument to deliver the children of Israel from bondage. So Moses was God's man. Moses was the person that God was going to raise to do a particular work. Moses was God's will. The first thing that we need to note is that favor only really applies to those who are in God's will. If you are living totally out of God's will, already you don't qualify for God's favor, because God's favor means he's pleased with you. God could love you but still not be pleased with you. It is only when you are in God's will, doing what he wants you to do, living how he wants you to live, then and only then does God's favor apply to you. So I'm going to read another scripture, and this scripture is probably the foremost scripture dealing with the favor of God. It's Proverbs chapter 3, reading from verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Notice that. It didn't just say keep my commandments, but let your heart keep my commandments. So it's talking about not just doing what God says. It's talking about loving what God says. It's talking about in your heart where you desire and you love and you long to do what God says, God's commands, where you love God's word. The psalmist says, I delight in your ways. Many of us do God's ways as a sacrifice, but do you really love righteousness? Do you really love holiness? Do you really hunger and thirst for righteousness? And that is a huge thing. That is not talking about something you could do, but it's talking about a condition of your heart, that you will actually love his commandments from your heart. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so shall you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So what's the condition? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. In the context of the book of Proverbs, mercy and truth means generosity and honesty. Like it talks about having mercy on the poor. And then truth talks about honesty in your dealings with other people, that you're not dishonest, you're not crooked. Once you have honesty and generosity defining your life, the Bible says, so shall you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. In Proverbs chapter 11, we see the same ideas being repeated. Proverbs 11 chapter 1 says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. So it's talking about dishonesty in your dealings. But a just way, that is the opposite, that's honesty and fairness, is his delight. So God delights in honesty and honest dealings, truthfulness. And scrolling down to verse 25, it says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. So that scripture simply reiterates what's in Proverbs chapter 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them around your neck. Let not generosity and truthfulness or honesty forsake you. One of the keys to having favor with God is being honest in your dealings and being generous. In the New Testament, Jesus gave a parable about a man who was so rich, he accumulated a whole bunch of wealth. He built barns and silos to hold all of his wealth, and he was rich beyond measure. And then God said to him, you fool, don't you know that tonight you're going to die and your soul will be required of you? What point is all of the riches that you hoard? God is not a big fan of people who will hoard their wealth, but rather God loves those who will use their blessings to bless others, who will be generous to the poor, who will be honest in their dealings, meaning that they will give people what they're due and they will not withhold from them. They will not seek to trick and scam and swindle others, but instead they will give them what they're due. That's what honesty does. And then generosity goes a step beyond that, and you don't just give them what they're due, but you give them a little more. You bless the people who are poor and less privileged than you are. Jesus said, if he asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. That's the kind of attitude And it's not something you could do, but rather it's an attitude that you have. It's a condition of your heart that God generally blesses people like that. We live in a world today where they teach you that if you speak certain words and if you confess or affirm or declare certain words and phrases, you will attract God's blessings. The Bible, on the other hand, says that if your heart is characterized as being generous and being truthful and honest, that is the kind of condition of your heart that tends to attract God's blessings. And God tends to show His favor to people who are like that. That's what happened when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. God orchestrated a bunch of circumstances. Anybody could have come to that river. It could have been somebody who was unfavorable or uncompassionate towards the Hebrews. But instead, Pharaoh's own daughter had compassion on him. So one, she had compassion on him to spare his life. But two, she was now positioned to give Moses a life beyond what he could have ever imagined. So we see God orchestrating the circumstances. But that was not all. Moses' sister was over there hiding and watching everything that was happening. She was observing. And if somebody came and killed the child, really there was nothing she could have done. But she was watching to see what would happen, and she saw that Pharaoh's daughter looked favorably upon the child. Then Miriam had the good sense and wisdom and the presence of mind to go up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Do you want me to call one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child?" And she called the child's mother, who was also her mother. Had she not had that wisdom and that sense, it might have worked out a little differently. So, in addition to having favor, you need to have wisdom to be able to capitalize on it. That's the kind of wisdom that Miriam had, even as a child. And she had the wisdom and the sense to really maximize that blessing. And then the final thing I would like to note about favor is that even though they got a miraculous episode of God's favor, their living circumstances did not change. They were still slaves in Egypt. They were still living under a very oppressive regime. That did not change. But in the midst of their adverse circumstances, God punctuated their life with a tremendous blessing. And that's what favor does. Favor does not radically transform your life. It does not transform your bank account. Your general circumstances tend to remain the same, but favor simply punctuates your life with God's blessings. Joseph had favor, but it was 13 years before he finally got promoted. Daniel had God's favor, but he still lived in an oppressive regime. Favor is not something that transforms your circumstances, but merely punctuates your life with God's blessings. And then the final thing I would like to note about favor is that it doesn't always pertain to material blessings. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of His salvation." Favor is a general disposition of God towards man that He demonstrated when He sent His Son to die on the cross. That was the ultimate act of God's favor towards us. And as Christians, we tend to forget that and we tend to neglect it. Once we're saved, we kind of figure, okay, the salvation issue is taken care of, and now let's try to prosper. But ultimately, we must remember that the ultimate act of God's favor was His salvation towards us, the grace that He showed us when we never deserved it. And if you're listening to me and you're not a child of God, you've never received Christ, remember this. The ultimate favor, greater than any material blessing, is God's salvation towards you that He offered when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die. If you would like to know more about that, feel free to call us at 343-5014. God bless you, and we'll see you all next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induwa Lampole Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.